to Curiosity Public Podcast. My name is Dutch.
My name is Jules.
Dylan.
And welcome to yet another episode of our world famous podcast. A little bit different episode here this time, our new concept. But before we get to that teaser, let's talk about what we are sipping on. I will go first. I will show the bottle slowly. You guys will definitely not get it now. Maybe you'll get it. Let's see. You guys get what this is?
Oh, here.
Smaller screen.
Here, I got it.
Not that it mattered anyway.
Oh, wait, is that a bottle and bond strip there?
It is. Jules, this should be very easy for
this
you.
This is an E.H. Taylor bottle and really bond.
It's E.H. Taylor small batch, yeah. You know, I am...
almost there.
I hate to timestamp this video, but, you know, Matt Madness. I'm still in the Matt Madness competition.
Yeah.
I probably won't be in past this week, but I figured, you know what? I need to remember what Mashbill number one really tastes.
Isn't it the finals practice already, dude? You're in the finals.
Yeah, so I'm pouring some Mashbill number one.
You got this, Dutch.
You guys hear that? Oh, it's a train outside. All right, Jules, what do you got?
You live near the tracks, right?
I'm in a van down by the river. The tracks.
In the van. Down by the river.
Jules, I see
I got
a bottle
so jealous
of
your wax top last time we did a podcast recording and decided to get a wax top bottle. That's right.
Cipri.
Going through it, baby.
And Dion.
All right, here's the color.
Are you sticking with scotch or have you switched it up to whiskey or rum?
Let's see what happens.
Or cognac.
Let's see what happens.
That's a good line.
All right. I don't think this is a bottle you've ever seen before.
Blue.
Oh, Appleton.
Rum. Is that the 21? Appleton Estate, 1994. Pot still. What is that?
This is a 26-year Appleton Estate. We're not messing around anymore. All right.
We're not in Kansas anymore. What's the proof point?
It's 60%.
Holy crap.
Wow. Yeah, dude. It's distilled in 1994, bottled in 2020, aged 26 years. This is one of 3,000 bottles.
That's incredible.
So we do like Jamaican rum, obviously.
Yeah. Do you think that's worthy of a review?
I think we need to review this.
You got to.
I bought this so that we can try it. And it's so different from Foursquare, which we've done so many reviews. I mean, like, I've gone through all the Appletons, right? We've gone through the we reviewed the Appleton Estate, right?
An Appleton drink through would be pretty cool.
Do we have
it? We don't have it.
I mean, we'd need to get a bunch of them to do it. But, it'd be a cool one to do. Did we do the 12-year? I don't think we actually ever did it.
Oh, okay. No.
Yeah, I think we talked about it.
I thought we did.
It might have been one of our early test episodes. I don't think it ever got released.
I feel like, we've done Appleton before. That's why. I don't know.
I think it was one that we tested when we were playing with the scoring system early on.
Okay.
I don't think we ever did an episode on it. Yeah.
Got it.
All right, guys.
That seems like a worthy contender, man.
Yeah, how is it, Dylan? Bananas on the nose?
It's like rotting fruits in a good way. It's just concentrated fruit flavors. It's something that's very different than the Foursquare. Mm. I feel like you get more of the...
Better?
I don't know if I can say it's better, but...
You know, this is making it for a very interesting question here. Is like, what if we took that and one of the high-proof Foursquares and then like the high-proof Plantation and did a blind?
Do a battle.
All right, how is it? You just took a sip.
Oh, I can't characterize it right now. I mean, first of all, this is a neck pour.
Oh, man.
This needs to open up because it's like
punchy.
Yeah, it is punchy 60%. And it's everywhere. It's 26 years, so it's like a thunderstorm in my mouth right now.
Wow. All right, guys. So our episode today is our new-ish kind of series that we're going to be doing, revisiting some of our favorite movies and just chatting a little bit about them, you know?
We're like inspired by that Netflix episode, the movies that we grew up on?
The movies that made us?
The movies that made us.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of, you know, because we all share.
Although this one is, we're a lot older.
Yeah, so we're kind of starting at the back. We're kind of working backwards here, I think. So we're starting with a movie that we all obviously saw pretty late in life, but it's one that we all really enjoy for a number of reasons, not least of which is that we love Vegas. We love going to Vegas and hanging out there, as you guys probably know from our Vegas videos. But today we're going to be talking about Ocean's 11. Are you guys ready to do this?
Yeah.
The George Clooney version, not Frank Sinatra.
Correct. And by the way, have you guys seen the Sinatra version?
Yes. I have.
Yeah. It's such a different movie.
It's completely. They're not the same. The only thing is the name.
And it's a tragedy.
Like
so many of the elements happen, like the guy having the heart attack, but the guy actually has the heart attack and dies.
Yeah.
And then they don't get any of the money. Spoiler alert. They don't get any of the money at the end. It's a completely different movie. But anyway, so we're going to be chatting about Ocean's 11, the 2001 movie. Can you believe this guy came out in 2001?
Wow. Yeah, only because I distinctly remember watching this in the theater with our friend Jeff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I must have been at a wine function.
I remember going to the theater to see it as well. I don't know if I went with you guys. Yeah, I might have been with you guys.
I don't know.
Yeah, this was a good time.
Maybe I was part of that wine club.
All right. So an ensemble cast, if there ever was one, right?
Oh, this is probably like the best one.
I don't think
there's any that's come close with this number of stars too.
Yeah. I want to ask of the characters here, how many of these actors have you personally met?
Of the entire cast?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've met any of them. Cast.
Well, are you only asking because you met the the number one antagonist here?
Okay. No. So Andy Garcia, we talked about this earlier. Yes, he wanted to join and hang out with me. Okay, I get that. But
yeah, right.
But I actually met someone else in the cast.
Mm. Yen?
Can you guess? Wow. No.
Let's see, who have I met?
Okay. I know who Jules has met.
Yeah, for sure one.
Wait, who?
No, I know Jules has met two, at least.
I know, yeah, two for sure. Oops. And then I'm trying to think if I ever did meet. So I met Brad Pitt, actually worked with him for a little bit. And then I was there with you during your Andy Garcia moment.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that. And then I also met Matt Damon.
Mm.
But I never worked with him. Like, I just met him. Okay. But Brad Pitt actually worked with.
I met Julia Roberts.
Oh, you did?
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I always wanted to meet her.
This was a long time ago. I can't actually say where I met her.
Private island again, right?
Yeah, it was she was super nice. What else can I say about her?
Was it before Oceans or post Oceans?
This was...
Or should we go post Erin Brockovich?
It was post Oceans. It was post Oceans. For me, her iconic role was Pretty Woman, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so I guess my question was, what does she look like in real life? And that was the... And, you know, celebrities look very different, right?
Yeah.
Very, very, very different in real life. And
so interesting, though, that
they do a lot of times.
He did... Steven Soderbergh did Erin Brockovich.
Yeah.
Right.
And this movie.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, he hadn't done a lot. Like, his first breakout one really was Out of Sight, right?
Was that his breakout movie?
Well, he had Sex, Lies, and Videotape,
yeah,
which I guess got some notoriety.
Which was, but, yeah, like, that was pretty.
I think that's what started everything.
Yeah. But from what, like, just looking at his filmography of being a director, like, for me, the only one that I really, the first one I ever saw was Out of Sight. Yeah. And then Erin Brockovich, then Traffic, and then Oceans. Because, I mean, Traffic was really the one where he was, like, established and, like,
right,
that was such an epic, you know, right, movie. But yeah, Oceans, man, I remember this whole ensemble cast. Like, how can all these A-listers come together, seriously, and do a movie together?
But not just that, like, Soderbergh doing such a great job, like, giving each one, you know, enough screen time.
Oh yeah,
so that their characters, although, are memorable, they have their moments together.
I will say Bernie Mac steals every single scene he's in.
Bernie Mac is right. Okay, much, hey, I stopped it here because I wanted us to do a impromptu bar review.
Okay, so this is the scene.
We should describe it.
Yeah.
Early in the movie, when Danny Ocean is meeting with Bernie Mac's character Frank
in New Jersey, I think.
In a bar on the East Coast, in a casino on the East Coast, and they sat down at the bar. What do you guys recommend? I see Frangelico.
Wow.
I see all the vodkas, right? Grey Goose, Belvedere,
Smirnoff. There's
Makers, that old granddad on the end.
Old granddad next to Makers, I believe.
Yeah. Makers,
and then the Royal Salute.
This is a Royal Salute right there.
21-year-old.
And what's this one?
Appleton Estate.
It looks like it, right?
Yeah, looks like Appleton. Not a very impressive bar.
Yeah, not so great.
Yeah.
So what is Danny Ocean drinking? I guess that's
when he says whiskey. Yeah.
So what is he drinking? Take a guess. What would you think that Danny Ocean, what kind of whiskey?
Better yet, do you know what restaurant he's in when he orders that?
Oh, I don't know.
The Trump Plaza.
No. When he says a whiskey and a whiskey.
Yes.
This is later in the movie.
It's like Bellagio.
Picasso.
It's Picasso. Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Which, wow, where we've all been. And we've met the chef. We've hung out with the chef.
Right.
That's true.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I got to talk to him about Walmart parking lots.
Oh, man. Now, the scenes in L.A. I thought were pretty funny, too. Some of the funniest scenes in the movie with Brad Pitt teaching the actors.
Oh, that's the best. That's some of the best openings. Oh, yeah, man. Like, and then there was a behind the scenes thing where Matt Damon talks about, like, that's pretty much what it felt like in real life when he was practicing or learning how to play poker for Rounders. That is pretty much the exact same kind of experience. Yeah.
Wow. That's
pretty funny. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
So they captured it like perfectly.
And I mean, that's why they put this in there, right? About like, oh, this could be for an acting gig or whatever.
Yeah. Write-off or whatever.
Another funny thing I learned or I heard was that every scene where you see like where Brad Pitt gets introduced to a segment of the movie, he's eating.
Yeah, I think everybody knows that, right? Because he's eating like nachos.
Yeah.
He's eating that shrimp.
Well, it was one that just happened behind, like, yeah, because that was one of the big behind the scenes ones they were talking about. Because it's one of those where he was just caught off camera and Soderbergh ran with it, you know, and like decided to put it like in everything then, whenever you see his character.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Although he got they were saying like he got really mad when they chose a shrimp cocktail because apparently he like had to eat 40 shrimp or something like that. Just for that take.
Yeah. I love shrimp cocktail. I don't think I'd complain about that.
But speaking of Vegas and shrimp cocktails, what was that? Like MGM at the Cabana? Crazy, insane shrimp cocktail.
The platter?
Like the platter. Yeah. Oh my God.
It was like 30 shrimp.
Yeah. If you guys ever have an opportunity.
Yeah. By the way, pool complex wise, MGM has one of the best. It's just, you know, it's fantastic. Okay. So the overall premise basically is Danny Ocean gets out of prison and his girlfriend or wife, sorry, ex-wife, or actually still wife, now dating the owner of the Bellagio. And he gets out of prison and basically like starts telling all of his buddies, hey, let's steal from MGM. Let's steal the shared vault between, what is it? The MGM, the Bellagio, and the Mirage. I don't know. They named the casinos.
I forgot which three. You're right.
Those are MGM Danny Ocean's casinos. Oh, no, right. Those are Terry Benedict's casinos. Which I don't actually think is true, by the way. I don't think they share a vault.
That's what you think.
That's what I think. Mm-hmm. That's what I just said. That's what I think. So anyway, the overall premise is that they figure that on the big fight night, they're doing this fight between Lennox Lewis and Klitschko that's going to happen. There's going to be so much money sitting in the vault to cover all the bets that it'd be the perfect night to pull off this heist. And Danny basically goes around and they're figuring out how many people they need for this kind of thing. And they need 11 people. So
Ruben has like the best line at the scene when they're trying to pitch it to him. And he's like, let's not forget you're in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, exactly. Which, by the way, that was all filmed in Palm Springs in a house.
Right.
Even though it's supposed to be somewhere in Vegas.
Yeah.
But you see that and you see that and it immediately looks like all the houses in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
All their backyards and with the pools. Great house, though.
So a lot of the movie is kind of getting the team together, which is, you're kind of introduced to all the characters and they all have their specialities and they bring them all together and pitch the idea. At this kind of, at what's his face is Ruben's house.
Ruben's, yeah.
One of my favorite lines from the entire movie is when Linus, Matt Damon's character, has kind of got cold feet about the whole thing. And he's talking to Ruben about it. And he's like, so how is it in Chicago? Do you like living in Chicago?
That's just wonderful.
Like, it's wonderful. Getting the house. Like, you're going to do this heist with us, basically. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about Don Cheadle's accent.
Something about that? I think people were talking about that.
Is it supposed to be good or bad?
It's supposed to be bad, I think.
It seems like it's bad.
It's supposed to be like he's an American with a fake British accent.
Which is ironic.
Obviously is.
Because when Brad Pitt did, what's that movie called? Snatch. He had such an awesome accent.
Right.
So it's like,
true.
Did he get some pointers?
I don't know. I always wondered about that because I wanted to know what our British friends and brothers.
I'm sure this was like on the list of offensive or poor.
Yeah, is it
British Mary Poppins accent. Level?
I was going to say Dick Van Dyke level.
Yeah, Dick Van Dyke has to be up there. Natalie Portman has to be up there. Come on.
What did she do? An accent?
In V for Vendetta. That was like one of the worst. Everyone was always ripping.
No, hang on, guys. Who can beat Kevin Costner, who didn't even do it for the whole movie? He was so bad.
Yeah.
But that's a really good
that
movie.
One. We need to do that movie.
That's a really good movie.
I love that movie.
The Painted Man.
That's a good movie.
This is so good.
I don't know. Of course, they get the Chinese acrobat.
Right. So racist.
Got a grease man.
We got a grease man.
It's a great line.
It is a great line. The entire scene of them kind of assembling the team is just, it's just so, you know, this is the slick cutting together of scenes that only somebody like Soderbergh can do. And you see so many people try to copy this style with the music and with the quick cuts and everything. And nobody does it like he does it. He nails it.
Actually, speaking of, you know, I know you went through that part when they're at the dog track, but you know, that's actually one of the most expensive scenes for this movie.
Where he's getting Saul.
Yeah, because they actually had to CG Saul's dog or Greyhound losing.
That seems ridiculous
to get that. No joke. Yeah. You can look that one up. That's a fun fact one. It's like, seriously. And then the other one being like when Terry Benedict blows the casino where he's going to build his casino or whatever.
Oh, the demolition scene?
The demolition scene,
yeah. I can believe that. So they didn't actually just capture the actual demolition?
I don't know too much about. I think that was like they had to CG that stuff.
Oh, wow. That would be kind of expensive.
Yeah. Oh, we know somebody who does CG. We should ask him.
True.
And get his take on
that. You mean our cameraman?
Yeah.
He's industry adjacent.
And
he's industry. So I got to say the shots of Vegas at night that you see throughout the movie. I wonder if the Curiosity Public Vegas videos are on par with that. What do you guys think?
No.
We didn't even try at nighttime, dude. We should try.
What are you talking about? We had awesome night shots of the casinos.
No,
and stuff.
But I mean, I'm sorry, like in front of the fountain and stuff. That would have been so.
Oh yeah, we should recreate that scene.
It'll look terrible.
I know. We're not going to be as cool on this.
Oh, you know what? We should get Dr. Oju to fly his drone. Yeah, fly his helicopter in front of the thing.
I feel like they have countermeasures in Vegas for drones. I feel like it would be shot down or something. Right.
Seriously.
All right, so they come up with this crazy plan, the Bellagio, MGM Grand, Mirage. I think those are the three they say. They all feed into the Bellagio's vault.
Bellagio. Right? It's weird because
they're not next to each other.
Yeah, it's just so weird. How like they show that. The map.
Schematic. Yeah, I never understood that because, you know, Bellagio is next to what was at the time Monte Carlo. So I would understand Monte Carlo, New York, and Bellagio all sharing a vault because they're all right next to each other.
Oh, actually, that reminds me of an old behind the scenes thing because I think originally it was supposed to be New York. That's why, if I remember correctly.
Oh, wait, no, actually, no, because Aria City Center was next to Bellagio. So that didn't even exist at the time.
Yeah.
It was the Boardwalk. You guys remember the Boardwalk Casino? That was there.
Yes. Yeah. Wow.
So there you go. Movie magic. So anyway, they get to Vegas, they set up shop, and they actually book a room at the Bellagio. So they got a big suite there, and they kind of all start getting into their positions that they're going to need to be in order to pull off this heist. I love watching movies set in Vegas because we go there so much, and just looking at the shots of inside the Bellagio and being like, you know what's pathetic? I know where that is.
Exactly where that is.
Yeah, in fact, I think Dutch went behind the scenes at Bellagio.
He did.
I did once. Yeah. Yes.
Did they have the color like this? Was the hallways of Bellagio in the back?
Were they taupe? Taupe is very soothing.
Yeah.
I don't remember. All I remember was that I was walking in and I saw a door open. I just went through. I went through and I came out behind the check-in desk and everybody was staring at me and I just walked out like I meant to do it and nobody said anything. So maybe it is this.
Somebody was watching.
Maybe though. We're just that. But we're one step away from pulling off this heist.
Of a vault that doesn't exist.
Even close.
The vault that doesn't exist. And they're like, what are you talking about, vault? It's all electronic now.
Yeah, it's all Bitcoin, dude.
Yeah. There it is, the shrimp cocktail.
Shrimp cocktail scene, Brad Pitt eating the shrimp cocktail.
He had 40 shrimp during this take. Mm.
Yeah, so about halfway through the movie, roughly, you learn that his ex-wife is the person involved.
With
Terry Benedict, who's the owner of the Bellagio in this. Is that Kanye West?
Wow. You know who that looked like, actually? Chris Paul, CP3.
Maybe.
You want to see? It looks like CP3, dude.
No.
Maybe. Carl Reiner does possibly the best job in this movie.
Rest in peace.
Oh, yeah, as Saul. Such a great job with the accent and
he
all that.
He was great as a guest on Conan O'Brien, always.
Was he?
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Did he do one? He was, I think Seinfeld did a thing with him too, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's iconic. And
yeah.
I mean, I guess the question is, can you create an EM pulse with a machine that's behind a, that can fit inside a truck?
A truck,
using,
a van?
Using a bunch of car batteries, right?
The pinch? Is that what they call it? Is that what they call it?
That is a pinch.
You know what's ridiculous? Is all they needed is just to hire Dylan.
Yeah, he just needs to walk into
Dylan is a human EMP.
I am.
He has this ability to break every piece of electronic equipment he comes into contact with. Hey, can you back it up a second? What kind of cigar is Andy Garcia smoking in this movie? Can you guys tell?
I can't tell. And
I think they took the bands off of everything.
What's his name? Ruben. Ruben's smoking a cigar the whole time.
Yeah, that's like a big thing. That's like a Churchill of some kind, but no idea what kind it really is.
Can't tell.
So one thing I have to point out, and this will become actually relevant in a future Curiosity Public video. There's the scene, you know, Carl Reiner, Saul's character, is in disguise as a like Eastern European oligarch type character, but somebody recognizes him as he's walking through the casino. Yeah.
Bucky Buchanan.
He's like, Saul, it's Bucky Buchanan.
I'm
Sarasota. But at a certain point in a future Curiosity Public video, you will hear me say that, try to recreate that line and say Bucky Buchanan.
Now I remember that.
Wait, I forgot, where was that, though? I
remember you saying that and us like we were making fun of that like crazy.
Yeah, and I was convinced I said it right. And then we checked the tapes and I definitely said it wrong.
Oh, I remember. You know what? We were in the Crystal Quartz and you were trying to talk about
Crystal Quartz?
Yeah. We did a little thing.
It's a Crystal Quartz.
Isn't it Crystal Quartz?
Oh, Crystals, the mall.
Yeah, Crystal. Yeah.
Crystal Quartz.
Yeah, we did.
Sarasota with Saratoga.
Sarasota. the shots of the Bellagio restaurant, that's legitimately Picasso restaurant. If you ever have a chance to go to Vegas and eat at Picasso, I think it's like a 2 Michelin star restaurant. Amazing food. And there's real Picassos all throughout the restaurant.
They sold it all.
They sold the entire catalog?
I believe so.
Yeah. I heard something about that.
Yeah.
I think it was like a lot of them were Steve Wynn's personal collection.
Right.
And they came with the deal when MGM bought Bellagio from Steve Wynn or something like that. Mm. There's an interesting story behind it all. We'll get Julian to tell us about it sometime.
But I think they sold it because of, I guess, finances or something. I don't know what it
was. Or maybe their insurance was too high. But a great restaurant, by the way.
Since we're seeing Matt Damon on screen, actually another fun fact is that it wasn't, who was originally cast? It was Mark Wahlberg was originally cast to play Linus.
Man. And I can kind of see that.
He turned it down. I forgot why he turned it down.
I'm glad he turned it down.
I think it literally because he just didn't want to be in a film with like George Clooney and Brad Pitt and all them or something like that. I can't remember exactly.
Wow. He didn't want 3 or 4 people ahead of him in the billing.
Yeah, I guess not.
So George Clooney got top billing on this?
Yeah, of course. Yes. Wow.
So if this movie were released today, you think he would still get top billing over Julia Roberts and Brad Pitt and Matt Damon?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
He's way bigger than anybody now.
Dude, okay. Casamigos? Come on.
That alone.
Oh, man.
It's Mr. Casamigos, man.
That is true. That is.
And that actually, he did. So I can't remember the history of that, though. He started that when he was like still in ER and stuff.
No, it was later. Okay. I heard a story. This might be an apocryphal story, but apparently he was hanging out with some people and drinking. They were drinking Don Julio. And he was like, this is the best tequila. Like, why don't we create something that's just like this? And that's not going to, I think it was Don Julio. It might have been like Clase Azul. It was something that was like, I think it was Don Julio. Because it was like old Don Julio and it was actually decent. And when Casamigos started, it was actually a little bit better. And then when it got big, they started to just like dump the additives in it and stuff. Because I remember like the first few batches of it, it was a little bit of a different product. But yeah. Sorry to digress there. So in the boxing scene, I always thought when Vladimir Klitschko was walking out, I always thought that was Steven Seagal walking out there in front of him.
Oh, dude. What? In front?
Yeah, oh, this guy right here. Like him. Yeah, totally could be like his
on the left. On the left, right?
Yeah. It's like Joe Seagal. It's his brother or cousin or something.
So check it out. You guys want to check it out? We're at like the 1 hour 20 minute mark. You can see.
Yeah, that's the scene where the boxing match is starting, and like they're getting their whole plan in motion. Possibly one of the best comedic scenes in the whole movie is the scene with Matt Damon, Andy Garcia, and Bernie Mac, where they discover that he is a criminal. And pretty much every line from that scene is pure gold. I think.
No, even like towards
as well call it White Jack.
And then
want to sign your shoes or
something. Yeah, when he says,
like, get on the table and dance.
Dance.
And then he, what was it called? He goes,
the
like,
rap sheet.
When Bernie Mac tries to attack him, he says, oh dear God.
Oh, you mean Matt Damon says, oh dear God.
Yeah.
Oh man, everything so about good. That Bernie Mac's reactions and stuff, just good. So
no, what, especially what I love about is when he tries to get those vans. And, it's like an unnecessary scene because, like, why are they, you know, nickel and diming just a van?
Yeah,
right. It's like, why do you need to save $1,000?
Venom, like, that's how they are. That's what's so awesome about it, dude.
Well, and what it was
playing that was into, all of him, man.
Yeah, it was playing into how good of a con man he is.
Exactly. Mm.
Yeah, he's like, now I like to use an aloe vera. Based lotion.
Exactly. Moisturize.
You moisturize? Your hands are very soft.
So we're watching a section where right
they're about
before
to get
the
into
vault,
the vault. Yeah.
What is up with their vest?
It was the harness thing from when they were like
rappelling.
Well,
you know, also
down.
I think originally they weren't supposed to wear the black shirts.
Really?
Like Soderbergh wanted to show off more of their arms. Yeah.
Oh, I never understood the vest thing.
Yeah.
I think it's because when they were rappelling down the elevator shaft, it was like their harness. Maybe.
Here's a classic look of an old flip phone.
I know. You know, I was watching this and I was like, oh, the cell phones are so old. Even in Ocean's 13, you know, the gold Samsung phone that he gets.
Oh yeah.
It's like it's still like an old phone.
Yeah, true. Good point.
I think we need to spend a quick second and talk about Livingston a little bit.
Mm.
The computer guy.
Okay.
What an amazing performance. I mean, can anybody play nervous, nerdy guy any better than Livingston?
No. Seriously. But yeah, go ahead, Bill.
No, it's just that when Ocean's 13 too.
Yeah, I was going to say, the best one is in Ocean's 13.
Oh, the game is Blackjack. The
it's
goal
like
is
you
to
win.
Get 21.
And then the way they all look around at the table.
And it's like, okay, do over.
Oh, that reminds me, actually, another fun fact, though. You know, George Clooney didn't even really know how to play poker before they made this movie.
Mm.
So he didn't know, yeah.
Well, I bet that Matt Damon knew.
Right.
Wow, thanks.
That's a good movie, though. You guys, if you haven't seen Rounders, you guys got to watch Rounders.
Oh. I think we could do an episode
we
like
should
this
do
on
that,
Rounders.
Too, man.
Yeah. I've seen that movie so many times.
Me too.
I've made fun of John Malkovich's Russian accent so many times. So, you know, the twist at the end, did you guys think that was too much of a jump first time you saw the movie? Did you think, oh, come on?
No, not at all, man. I thought this was really well told.
It was, right?
Yeah.
And even on rewatch, it stands up because you kind of go back and you try to analyze it and you're like, you know what? They covered everything.
So good. Dude, this is actually one of those movies I just love having played in the background. This is like the Godfather for me. Just played in the background. It's cool.
There's a certain amount of, suspension of disbelief that you have to do. I think the main part for me that I have to like kind of just write off is how connected Danny is. It's like he happens to know the guy that's going to come in to beat him up.
Yep.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
But then you know what's great is in Ocean's 13, they tie that all back and he's like, I know all the guys you'd send after me and they like me better.
And
so it's like, oh, yeah. He is
so
that guy.
Good. Yeah. So good.
They retconned it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, you know what? Andy Garcia's performance, right when, you know, when he's talking to Danny Ocean, like how he shows his anger without saying anything. I mean, that's
true acting. That's why you celebrate his entire catalog, don't you?
Yes, I did. It was so good.
I got to say, the scene at the end in front of the Bellagio fountains is just beautiful.
So classic.
Yeah.
The music, the perfect piece of music, perfect cinematography.
I love how the camera pans down on... I was going to say...
What?
Oh my God.
Wow.
I thought you were going to go with...
Wow. Whoa. 3 to 6 months later.
Yeah, he gets out of jail. They got the money. And then they go to Europe to pull off a heist in Ocean's 12, which is
that was a waste of a movie.
Yeah.
Now that one, you could tell they were just
phoning it in.
It was just a write-off, dude, the whole thing.
Yeah. I think there were rumors that they made that movie so they could just hang out with each other.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It was a write-off.
I can see that. You know, the biggest problem with that was the breaking of the fourth wall with the Brad Pitt and Julia Roberts stuff. Mm. It just got dumb at that point. point. You're just like, come on.
Yeah, that and then the laser thing.
What's his name?
The Fox?
Bruce Willis.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about. Like,
yeah, Bruce Willis thing. And Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts bit.
But then I do feel like they really did save the day with Ocean's 13. You know?
Totally.
They brought it back. They did the same thing over. And
of course, you know, you bring Al Pacino and it's like, magic.
I mean, you have to bring Al Pacino it's in episode magic, three, right?
Dude. Yeah.
I love it. Oh, okay.
Okay. Which, by the way, has a scene from Ocean's 13 has made it into Curiosity Public Videos in the past. Mm-hmm. And will probably in the future, because that's one of our favorite Al Pacino lines of him saying, villas? Okay.
Okay. What was it say right before Danny puts the hard hat down? Say, what is this, a Billy Martin?
Or something?
What is
this, Billy Martin?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so good.
Okay.
Yeah, you gotta love Al Pacino. We could do a whole series of Al Pacino movies, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. We got to start with The Scent of a Woman.
Scent of a Woman,
and then Heat.
Heat is fantastic.
Classic. Heat.
I would say Devil's Advocate, except it's such a horrible movie. I couldn't stand watching it again.
I love it.
Okay, guys.
Was that Keanu Reeves?
It was Keanu Reeves, It was horrible. Yeah. Let's talk really briefly. I want to ask you guys, have you guys seen Ocean's 8?
Ocean's 8.
Yes and
Sandra
no.
Sandra Bullock, I have not.
Okay. Yes and no. I've seen half of it on the airplane, but I was dozing in and out.
Okay, got it.
Did you see it?
About like Dylan, I've seen about half of it. I couldn't,
I just from the trailers, like, there's no way this is going to be any good.
It
was supposed to
much
be
as I like Sandra
8,
Bullock,
9, 10, right? It's supposed to be Ocean's 8, 9, 10. It's supposed to be the prequels. They needed Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, I didn't, you know.
What? 8, 9, 10.
Mall 4 make a great movie with a female ensemble cast, but the great way of doing that is come up with a new thing.
Well, the problem is like they just do the carbon copies, right? Yep. Like the Ghostbusters stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, that's not helping the problem. All that's saying is, the guys did it. Now let's come up with the new Ocean's 11, whatever it is. It's not going to be called Ocean's anything because it's something completely new, and let's make it an ensemble female cast, and it's going to kick because, you know, it could.
Like Gosford Park?
Sure. All right, guys. Well,
there's got to be somebody in CPU.
Oh, somebody knows what that is.
I know what it is. I just don't
refuse to acknowledge it.
I refuse to acknowledge anything you say at this point, Dylan, because it's lame. Anyway, we've talked about as much, I think, as we can about Ocean's 11. We obviously love the movie, and hopefully you guys do too. And this hasn't been a completely boring episode for you guys, but let us know. Shoot us some messages on any of our YouTube videos. Send us an email at info@curiositypublic. Let us know what kind of podcast content do you prefer. Do you prefer us talking about alcohol only? Do you prefer us talking about random stuff? Do you prefer us talking about movies? Because obviously we love yapping incessantly about movies. This is the kind of thing we do when we hang out.
Totally.
Exactly. So, that. Exactly.
It's pretty much, seriously. It's just like a regular night.
Yeah. I feel like if we didn't have a channel about alcohol, we'd have a channel about movies.
We'd be doing the same thing.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be many movie reviews.
Except YouTube it would be less stressful because we didn't have to record it.
True.
Right? Well, yeah. But I mean, if we just did be another YouTube ourselves. Channel, it would be a movie channel. And then we would have, it'd be Red Letter Media, except they already did it.
Yeah. And better.
They did it better, or we would do it better.
They're better.
Yeah, they are better. All right, Jules, why don't you take us out?
Well, thank you very much for listening to our podcast. Like Dutch said, if you want to check out more content, check out our YouTube channel if you don't already know about it. We do reviews and drink throughs, new content up there weekly. If you like what we do, want to help us out, please consider joining our Curiosity Private, which is the membership program on YouTube. We are also on Patreon, and we are selling t-shirts. Links will be in the description for these episodes. As always, stay safe, stay healthy,
stay curious. So you pause the end of the movie here at the credits. And the song Spanish Flea is written up there, written by Julius, which many people don't know. That's actually Jules' full name.
There you go.
Julius. I thought it was Jewel. So
Dylan does spell it like Jewel, the singer.
No, he spells it like the, what is it, like the physics term?
Right.
Yeah, Jewel.
J-U-L-E.
J-O-U-L-E.
J-O-U-L-E. Oh, man.